Welcome to today's Bible College curriculum. I'm Fernando, your instructor. Let's go ahead and open this session with the Lord's Prayer. Then we'll take communion. Then we'll get right into our lecture for today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Like I said, thank you so much for coming down here. I pray that you're in good spirits. God's blessings upon you. Let's go ahead and get the bread and the blood. We're going to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for us, gave up the ghost for us. He supplied us with eternity. He supplied us with kingdom come. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, do this in remembrance of me. This bread, this manna from heaven, is given unto you so that we may acknowledge him on a daily basis as we come together and study his word. Thank you, Jesus, for this broken bread that represents your body that was broken for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for soothing our souls and quenching the thirst. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your great obedience and your sacrifice of your body for us. Amen. Let's go ahead and partake of the bread of life. Thank you, Lord. The perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, a lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Amen and amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Jesus took the cup that evening and he said, drink this. This is my blood for the remission of sins. Can you imagine how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is? He took care of the sin problem that Adam and Eve started. He took care of the fear problem that Adam and Eve started. He took care of our nakedness. We feel complete now. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your blood, and your blood is still here, and your blood speaks good tidings. Your blood speaks good, powerful power that cleanses us perpetually. Keeps on cleaning us as we live through this world. Our souls are clean. Our minds are clean. Our spirits are clean. All we have to do is wash our feet. Just like the apostles. The words have done it. They have sanctified us. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your sanctification. Thank you for making us whole through your blood. We are complete. Let us partake of the blood of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. So be it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is finished. Amen. And now let's go through our lecture, which is for April the 14th. We're going to be reading on Genesis. Genesis verse 1, 2, 3 chapters for our study today. And let us use God's MO, method of operation. In Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews 11:3. God uses words to create. He uses his word to frame the worlds. Just look in the first chapter of Genesis and count how many times you see the phrase, and God said. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, let there be a firmament. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. And God said, let the earth bring forth. Those are verses 6, 3, 6, 9, and 11. God doesn't do anything without saying it first. That's his MO, his mode of operation. And if you're smart, you'll use that mode of operation too. You'll take his words and speak them out until they take on form and substance and become a reality in your life. Well, Brother Copeland, you may say, I tried that and it didn't work. I said, by his stripes, I'm healed 4 times and nothing happened. Big deal. God started saying that Jesus was coming in the Garden of Eden. He said it again in Exodus. He said it again in Numbers and Deuteronomy. He said it in Isaiah and the other prophets. He said it all through the Old Testament over and over again. Then after 7,000 years, the book of John tells us, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. So if you said it, you healed 4 times and nothing's happening, don't worry about it. Just keep saying it. Jesus died on the cross and made everything at hand. He says the kingdom of God is at hand. You might think it's taking a long time to manifest, but I'll guarantee you it won't take 7,000 years. Do you want to operate in God's power? Then use his MO. Speak out his words and let them frame a life full of blessings for you. Amen and amen. Reading Genesis 1. Genesis 1 says, the account of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters in the heaven from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called that space sky. Evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. I'm reading to you from the New Living Translation from the Life Recovery Bible. And it has some margins in here. Let me read that before I keep going. God was pleased with his creation. He declared that it was good. God stopped now and then to approve of what he had designed and created. Isn't that interesting? Many of our problems and dependencies result from the misuse of God's good creation. Our recovery and restoration sometimes involves discovering the good things that we have misused and learning how to enjoy them in the way God intended. Note, when I came out of my addictions and so forth, or the many good jobs I lost, I was able to see back that I didn't celebrate my soul of the accomplishment of that 1 week. In other words, I earned the check, and I didn't treat myself. I just kept pushing the envelope, pushing the envelope. I didn't take a day to make rest and say, it was good. It was a good accomplishment. And see how I can better myself for the next week. And then I crashed and burned. So when we get done with this reading, we're going to say, it's good. It's a good reading. It's fabulous. It's remarkable that we get a chance to enjoy good literature, and especially coming from God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Remember, my sin was unbelief when I came into AA. Alcohol had done its work. It removed belief, trust, faith, and hope. And AA restored it back again. Okay, the next phrase that says, and that is what happened, it's right here, and that's what happened, what God said. It shows us that God's creative activity was done in complete conformity to the specifications he had originally intended. God accomplishes his will with certainty and precision. It should reassure us to know that God's good desire for us can be accomplished with the same certainty. So every time we pat ourselves in the back when we go to a meeting and say, that was good. That was good, Fernando. I'm telling you, we have to be our own self-talk, our own cheerleader. We got to keep talking to ourselves good words. Be thankful, Fernando. You did a good thing. You went to a meeting this morning. You were of service. You passed the chips out. You helped put with the newcomer, put the books in their car. They're going to try and run the meeting. You done a good thing, Fernando. So we need it. I don't know. We need that. I need it. Okay, let's keep going. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so the dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters sea. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sorts of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kind of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants, and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seed produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, making the third day. Then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth. And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, making the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created the sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply. Let the fish fill the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, with each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, over the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals in the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made and saw that it was very good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the sixth day. It would behoove us for us to keep acknowledging what God acknowledges good. Nature, the beauty of the morning. He says his mercies are new every morning. In other words, his creation and his vibrant life is new every morning. Isn't that amazing? We can feel the beauty, the birds singing, the sun coming over the mountains, the fresh air, the grace of God in the air. We can say, man, this is a good day. It is a good morning. Thank you, God. And God said, it is good. So we say what our Father says. Now, the recovery principle devotion, it says in Genesis 26:31, if we have lived in bondage to our compulsive behaviors for a while, we probably see more bad than good inside us. Many of us tend to see life in terms of all or nothing. As a result, we probably think we are all bad. But in recovery, we need a balanced understanding of ourselves. We need to see that along with our bad points, we have also been gifted with strengths. It's not an either-or proposition. A balanced view of ourselves will help us better understand our shortcomings while also giving us greater hope in our potential. At the end of the fifth day of creation, God had made everything except the first people. The Bible tells us that when he looked at what he had made so far, God saw that it was good. Then God created the, and remember, when it was all done on the sixth day, he looked at everything, all, and he took a tally, and he said, it was very good, everything he had done. He complimented himself, huh? Way to go. It was very good. So when I look at myself in the mirror, I say, hey, you are very good. I don't say, hey, you. Everybody says, hey, Fernando. They would think my name is, first name is Hey. Then God created the first man and women. So God created human beings in his own image. We are made in the image of God. That's why when I say I'm going to go to the meeting and I make it and I come back, I say it was good. It was a good thing. I said something and it was along God's will and I was able to get back. If I say, oh, I'm going to go to the racetracks and win big money, and I go over there, and those words don't happen. I come back, and I say, oh, that was a bad deal. I got no money for my rent now. So I have to stay within the bounds of God's written word. Amen. God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. So I have pulled my furniture a couple of times, maybe 2-3 times, and given it away for that principle. May want to do it again. I give 2 away and I get 1 back. Bigger one. So, okay, let's get back to the reading. God saw that it was good. Then God created the first man and women. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God looked over all he had made again, and he saw that it was very good. God distinguishes between the human race and the rest of creation. He made us in his very image, with capacities far beyond those of mere animals. God was and is excited about us. He gave us abilities and responsibilities to reflect his own nature in all creation. When he created us, he was proud of what he had made. Although we have a sinful nature that comes as a result of the fall, we also must remember that we were created in the likeness of God. There is excellence and dignity inherited in being human that should cause us to ponder our potential for good as well as for bad. Now understand that when we have pain in this world, we don't curse our pain because then it's going to grow. We just claim it to be cursed, so the pain will grow. In order to diminish the pain, we thank God for the pain, and then we get the distilled spirit out of that pain by thanking God. We're putting it in an incinerator, cooking it, and we're getting the good out of the pain. What direction does the pain want to take me? What do I need to do? Do I need to meditate and read of more of God's word? Do I need to pray? So the pain is a blessing. That's part of the fall. So God gave us a solution to overcome it. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what he was talking about. Rejoice when you get persecuted. Rejoice when someone takes something from you. Be happy up and down. Rejoice when someone offends you. Amen. That's a test that most of us don't pass in the beginning. All right, let's keep reading. Chapter 2. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his works of creation. Amen. So this is the first mention of a Sabbath rest, one day of rest in seven. By his example, God encouraged us to design and to designate a portion of our lives to rest and spiritual rejuvenation. Without proper rest, it is very difficult to deal with the other matters in our lives, especially our progress in anything, mostly in recovery, because we violated so many principles that eat our lunch. Let's keep reading. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth. For the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust off the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees to grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed from the land of Eden, watering the garden, and then divided into four branches. The first branch, called the Pishon, flowed around the entire land of Havilah, where gold is found. The gold of the land is exceptionally pure. Aromatic resin and onyx stones are also found there. The second branch, called the Gihon, flowed around the entire land of Cush. The third branch, called the Tigris, flowed east of the land of Ashur. The fourth branch is called the Euphrates. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out of one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, This one is bone from my bone, and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman, because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Amen. Okay, let's go to chapter 3. The man and the woman's sin. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course, she said. We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it, or you, if you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breeze was blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" Then the man replied, "It was the woman you gave me, who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are crushed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offsprings and her offsprings. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." Then he said to the woman, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." And to the man he said, "Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow, you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made, for you were made from dust, and to dust you will return." Then the man, Adam, named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. Then the Lord God said, "Look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life, and eat it? Then they will live forever." So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden. And he placed a flaming sword that flies back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Nope. When Adam was questioned, notice that he blamed the women for his problem. He even backhandedly blamed God by reminding God that he was the one who gave him the woman in the first place. Yeah. Then Eve blamed the serpent for the problem. Passing the buck is the standard human response to guilt. But true recovery requires that we take a thorough inventory of our lives, accepting responsibility for everything we have done or fail to do. The very first death occurred on the same day as Adam and Eve sinned. It was the death of an animal to provide a covering for their nakedness. God's immediate provision for sin was the slaying of an innocent substitute to provide skin to clothe the guilty couple. The clothing they wore must have served as a reminder, engraving the sight of the dying animal in their minds, a picture of the terrible consequences of their sin. As we recognize the suffering we may have caused others, we also are reminded of the consequences of rejecting God's plans for our life. note, God said, if you eat of the tree, even touch it, don't touch it. And to me, that's like sin. God says, stay away from sin. Stay from away from dangerous people, places, and things that don't care a hoot about their lives. Don't even touch it. Don't even go near there. As soon as you touch it, you will get contaminated. That's the word understanding. The wisdom is having God's word, and then understanding is the action to do God's commandments. Stay away from sin. It corrupts. Amen. All right. Now, I think we'll stop right there. One more little reading coming out of hiding. 12 step. This is step 4. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Many of us have spent our lives in a state of hiding, ashamed of who we are inside. We may hide by living a double life, by using drugs or giving into other addictions to make us feel like someone else, or by self-righteously setting ourselves above others. Step 4 involves uncovering the things we have been hiding, even from ourselves. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Genesis 3, 7, 10. Human beings have been covering up, hiding ever since, and we have a fear. We have a natural fear that shouldn't be there. Jesus consistently confronted the religious leader about their hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy describes a person who pretends to have virtues or qualities that he really doesn't have. One time Jesus said to those leaders, "Hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. First wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too." Matthew 23, 25, 26. When the real person inside us comes out of hiding, we will have to deal with some dirt. Making this inventory is a good way to wash the inside. Some of the washing may involve bathing our lives with tears. It is only by uncovering the hidden parts of ourselves that we will be able to change the outer person, including our addictive compulsive behavior. Amen. One of the ways to say, "Yes, Lord, I did it. I stole it. I violated it. I screwed it. I connived it. I done everything wrong to it, Lord. And I'm thankful I did. Now I can come to you in repentance and ask you for forgiveness and receive the gift of grace and the gift of your mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am a sinner. Purge me from my sins, for they bog me down all the day long." That's what the sin does. Amen. Isn't it amazing? A lot of us have, we still have dreams of drinking or dreams of nakedness. I dreamed I was naked, but I wasn't ashamed. I was doing some work. Isn't that amazing? Not come to think of it, just a couple of days ago. I was with a lot of people, and we were doing some work. It's hanging something or bringing something into the room. Huh. Isn't that great? I've been at it for so long. This stuff is working. Thank you so much for listening in. Let's go ahead and pray out with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Stay. Reading Genesis 1. Genesis 1 says, the account of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters in the heaven from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called that space sky. Evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. I'm reading to you from the New Living Translation from the Life Recovery Bible. And it has some margins in here. Let me read that before I keep going. God was pleased with his creation. He declared that it was good. God stopped now and then to approve of what he had designed and created. Isn't that interesting? Many of our problems and dependencies result from the misuse of God's good creation. Our recovery and restoration sometimes involves discovering the good things that we have misused and learning how to enjoy them in the way God intended. Note, when I came out of my addictions and so forth, or the many good jobs I lost, I was able to see back that I didn't celebrate my soul of the accomplishment of that 1 week. In other words, I earned the check and I didn't treat myself. I just kept pushing the envelope, pushing the envelope. I didn't take a day to make rest and say, it was good. It was a good accomplishment, and see how I can better myself for the next week. And then I crashed and burned. So when we get done with this reading, we're going to say, it's good. It's a good reading. It's fabulous. It's remarkable that we get a chance to enjoy good literature, and especially coming from God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Remember, my sin was unbelief when I came into AA. Alcohol had done its work. It removed belief, trust, faith, and hope. And AA restored it back again. Okay, the next phrase that says, and that is what happened, is right here, and that's what happened, what God said. It shows us that God's creative activity was done in complete conformity to the specifications he had originally intended. God accomplishes his will with certainty and precision. It should reassure us to know that God's good desire for us can be accomplished with the same certainty. So every time we pat ourselves in the back when we go to a meeting and say, that was good. That was good, Fernando. I'm telling you, we have to be our own self-talk, our own cheerleader. We got to keep talking to ourselves good words. Be thankful, Fernando. You did a good thing. You went to a meeting this morning. You were of service. You passed the chips out. You helped put with the newcomer, put the books in their car. They're going to try and run the meeting. You've done a good thing, Fernando. So yeah, we need it. I don't know. We need that. I need it. Okay, let's keep going. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so the dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters sea. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kind of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants, and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seed produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, making the third day. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth. And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. An evening passed and morning came, making the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created the sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply. Let the fish fill the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, with each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, over the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals in the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made and saw that it was very good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the sixth day. It would behoove us for us to keep acknowledging what God acknowledges good. Nature, the beauty of the morning. He says his mercies are new every morning. In other words, his creation and his vibrant life is new every morning. Isn't that amazing? We can feel the beauty, the birds singing, the sun coming over the mountains, the fresh air, the grace of God in the air. We can say, man, this is a good day. It is a good morning. Thank you, God. And God said, it is good. So we say what our Father says. Now, the recovery principle devotion, it says in Genesis 26:31, if we have lived in bondage to our compulsive behaviors for a while, we probably see more bad than good inside us. Many of us tend to see life in terms of all or nothing. As a result, we probably think we are all bad. But in recovery, we need a balanced understanding of ourselves. We need to see that along with our bad points, we have also been gifted with strengths. It's not an either-or proposition. A balanced view of ourselves will help us better understand our shortcomings well, also giving us greater hope in our potential. At the end of the fifth day of creation, God had made everything except the first people. The Bible tells us that when he looked at what he had made so far, God saw that it was good. Then God created and remember, when it was all done on the sixth day, he looked at everything all, and he took a tally and he said, it was very good. Everything he had done. He complimented himself, huh? Way to go. It was very good. So when I look at myself in the mirror, I say, hey, you are very good. I don't say, hey, you. Everybody says, hey, Fernando. They would think my name is, first name is Hey. Then God created the first man and women. So God created human beings in his own image. We are made in the image of God. That's why when I say I'm going to go to the meeting and I make it and I come back, I say it was good. It was a good thing. I said something and it was along God's will and I was able to get back. If I say, oh, I'm going to go to the racetracks and win big money, and I go over there and those words don't happen, I come back and I say, oh, that was a bad deal. I got no money for my rent now. So I have to stay within the bounds of God's written word. Amen. God says, give and it shall be given unto you. So I have pulled my furniture a couple of times, maybe 2-3 times, and given it away for that principle. May want to do it again. I give 2 away and I get 1 back. Bigger one. So, okay, let's get back to the reading. God saw that it was good. Then God created the first man and women. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God looked over all he had made again, and he saw that it was very good. God distinguishes between the human race and the rest of creation. He made us in his very image, with capacities far beyond those of mere animals. God was and is excited about us. He gave us abilities and responsibilities to reflect his own nature in all creation. When he created us, he was proud of what he had made. Although we have a sinful nature that comes as a result of the fall, we also must remember that we were created in the likeness of God. There is excellence and dignity inherited in being human that should cause us to ponder our potential for good as well as for bad. Now understand that when we have pain in this world, we don't curse our pain because then it's going to grow. We just claim it to be cursed, so the pain will grow. In order to diminish the pain, we thank God for the pain, and then we get the distilled spirit out of that pain by thanking God. We're putting it in the incinerator, cooking it, and we're getting the good out of the pain. What direction does the pain want to take me? What do I need to do? Do I need to meditate and read more of God's word? Do I need to pray? So the pain is a blessing. That's part of the fall. So God gave us a solution to overcome it. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what he was talking about. Rejoice when you get persecuted. Rejoice when someone takes something from you. Be happy up and down. Rejoice when someone offends you. Amen. That's a test that most of us don't pass in the beginning. All right, let's keep reading. Chapter 2. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his works of creation. Amen. So this is the first mention of a Sabbath rest, one day of rest in seven. By his example, God encouraged us to design and to designate a portion of our lives to rest and spiritual rejuvenation. Without proper rest, it is very difficult to deal with the other matters in our lives, especially our progress in anything, mostly in recovery, because we violated so many principles that eat our lunch. Let's keep reading. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth. For the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust off the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees to grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed from the land of Eden, watering the garden, and then divided into four branches. The first branch, called the Pishon, flowed around the entire land of Havilah, where gold is found. The gold of the land is exceptionally pure. Aromic resin and onyx stones are also found there. The second branch, called the Gihon, flowed around the entire land of Cush. The third branch, called the Tigris, flowed east of the land of Ashur. The fourth branch is called the Euphrates. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out of one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. "At last," the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Amen. Okay, let's go to chapter 3. The man and the woman's sin. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course," she said, "we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat." God said, "You must not eat it or even touch it, or if you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breeze was blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" Then the man replied, "It was the woman you gave me, who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are crushed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offsprings and her offsprings. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And to the man he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made, for you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Then the man, Adam, named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life, and eat it? Then they will live forever. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden. And he placed a flaming sword that flies back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Nope. When Adam was questioned, notice that he blamed the women for his problem. He even backhandedly blamed God by reminding God that he was the one who gave him the woman in the first place. Yeah. Then Eve blamed the serpent for the problem. Passing the buck is the standard human response to guilt. But true recovery requires that we take a thorough inventory of our lives, accepting responsibility for everything we have done or failed to do. The very first death occurred on the same day as Adam and Eve sinned. It was the death of an animal to provide a covering for their nakedness. God's immediate provision for sin was the slaying of an innocent substitute to provide skin to clothe the guilty couple. The clothing they wore must have served as a reminder, engraving the sight of the dying animal in their minds, a picture of the terrible consequences of their sin. As we recognize the suffering we may have caused others, we also are reminded of the consequences of rejecting God's plan for our life. Note, God said, if you eat of the tree, even touch it, don't touch it. And to me, that's like sin. God says, stay away from sin. Stay away from dangerous people, places, and things that don't care a hoot about their lives. Don't even touch it. Don't even go near there. As soon as you touch it, you will get contaminated. That's the word understanding. The wisdom is having God's word, and then understanding is the action to do God's commandments. Stay away from sin. It corrupts. Amen. All right. Now, I think we'll stop right there. One more little reading coming out of hiding. 12 step. This is step 4. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Many of us have spent our lives in a state of hiding, ashamed of who we are inside. We may hide by living a double life, by using drugs or giving in to other addictions to make us feel like someone else, or by self-righteously setting ourselves above others. Step 4 involves uncovering the things we have been hiding, even from ourselves. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Genesis 3:7-10. Human beings have been covering up, hiding ever since, and we have a fear. We have a natural fear that shouldn't be there. Jesus consistently confronted the rich religious leader about their hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy describes a person who pretends to have virtues or qualities that he really doesn't have. One time Jesus said to those leaders, "Hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. First wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too." Matthew 23, 25, 26. When the real person inside us comes out of hiding, we will have to deal with some dirt. Making this inventory is a good way to wash the inside. Some of the washing may involve bathing our lives with tears. It is only by uncovering the hidden parts of ourselves that we will be able to change the outer person, including our addictive compulsive behavior. Amen. One of the ways to say, "Yes, Lord, I did it. I stole it. I violated it. I screwed it. I connived it. I done everything wrong to it, Lord. And I'm thankful I did. Now I can come to you in repentance and ask you for forgiveness and receive the gift of grace and the gift of your mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am a sinner. Purge me from my sins, for they bog me down all the day long." That's what the sin does. Amen. Isn't it amazing? A lot of us have, we still have dreams of drinking or dreams of nakedness. I dreamed I was naked, but I wasn't ashamed. I was doing some work. Isn't that amazing? Not come to think of it, just a couple of days ago. I was with a lot of people, and we were doing some work. It's hanging something or bringing something into the room. Huh. Isn't that great? I've been at it for so long. This stuff is working. Thank you so much for listening in. Let's go ahead and pray out with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Stay. Welcome to today's Bible College curriculum. I'm Fernando, your instructor. Let's go ahead and open this session with the Lord's Prayer. Then we'll take communion. Then we'll get right into our lecture for today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Like I said, thank you so much for coming down here. I pray that you're in good spirits. God's blessings upon you. Let's go ahead and get the bread and the blood. We're going to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for us, gave up the ghost for us. He supplied us with eternity. He supplied us with kingdom come. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, do this in remembrance of me. This bread, this manna from heaven, is given unto you so that we may acknowledge him on a daily basis as we come together and study his word. Thank you, Jesus, for this broken bread that represents your body that was broken for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for soothing our souls and quenching the thirst. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your great obedience and your sacrifice of your body for us. Amen. Let's go ahead and partake of the bread of life. Thank you, Lord. The perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Amen and amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Jesus took the cup that evening and he said, "Drink this. This is my blood for the remission of sins." Can you imagine how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ? He took care of the sin problem that Adam and Eve started. He took care of the fear problem that Adam and Eve started. He took care of our nakedness. We feel complete now. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your blood, and your blood is still here, and your blood speaks good tidings. Your blood speaks good, powerful power that cleanses us perpetually, keeps on cleaning us as we live through this world. Our souls are clean, our minds are clean, our spirits are clean. All we have to do is wash our feet, just like the apostles. The words have done it. They have sanctified us. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your sanctification. Thank you for making us whole through your blood. We are complete. Let us partake of the blood of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. So be it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it is finished. Amen. And now let's go through our lecture, which is for April the 14th. We're going to be reading on Genesis verse 1, 2, 3 chapters for our study today. And let us use God's MO, method of operation. In Hebrews 11, 3, through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews 11:3. God uses words to create. He uses his word to frame the worlds. Just look in the first chapter of Genesis and count how many times you see the phrase, "And God said." And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God said, "Let there be a firmament." And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together." And God said, "Let the earth bring forth." Those are verses 6, 3, 6, 9, and 11. God doesn't do anything without saying it first. That's his MO, his mode of operation. And if you're smart, you'll use that mode of operation too. You'll take his words and speak them out until they take on form and substance and become a reality in your life. Well, Brother Copeland, you may say, "I tried that and it didn't work. I said, by his stripes, I'm healed 4 times and nothing happened." Big deal. God started saying that Jesus was coming in the Garden of Eden. He said it again in Exodus. He said it again in Numbers and Deuteronomy. He said it in Isaiah and the other prophets. He said it all through the Old Testament over and over again. Then after 7,000 years, the book of John tells us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. So if you said it, you healed 4 times and nothing's happening, don't worry about it. Just keep saying it. Jesus died on the cross and made everything at hand. He says the kingdom of God is at hand. You might think it's taking a long time to manifest, but I'll guarantee you it won't take 7,000 years. Do you want to operate in God's power? Then use his MO. Speak out his words and let them frame a life full of blessings for you. Amen and amen.